Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, when we think about the payments industry and how it has evolved over the years, and then think about the additional layers that have been added to it, it's easy to see how the complexity of the ecosystem has grown. Now, regardless whether you think the complexity is a good or bad thing, if all players involved speak a different language or different dialect, the complexity becomes exponential. And while the data is becoming almost as important as the payment itself, being able to standardize the way the data is communicated across the ecosystem is vitally important. So on today's episode, I'm joined by George Throckmorton, who is Notch's Managing Director and Executive Director of Affinis Interoperability Standards, and Tim Sloan, who is the VP of Payments Innovation at Mercator Advisor Group, to talk about API standardization and how Notch is helping to lead the charge. So there's certainly a lot of great insights to take away from today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So George and Tim, thank you so much for taking the time today on this. I think it's a very extremely timely topic here. We're really kind of be taking a look at API standardization. But first, George, I'd like to take a moment to level set and explain to those who might not know what Affinis Interoperability Standards is and why API standardization is important in the payments and financial service industry. So perhaps maybe you could kind of give us a little bit of a 101 lesson around that.
Yeah, sure, Ryan. So Notch looked at what was happening in the financial industry. Now it's probably been 4 or 5 years ago. And certainly, like all analysts, right, looking at the data, we saw the proliferation of APIs in our world, helping businesses to interact with payments and the data around those payments. And it was very promising, right, to see that technology applied to that problem. What we also saw, though, after that, looking at what was happening, was there really wasn't a lot being done with standardization of these APIs. And so the challenges for businesses really related to that kind of lack of interoperability, right? I want to do the same thing with other organizations, but these APIs have subtle differences in how I do that. And so there was a consensus, I believe, in the industry to say, look, standardization would be of value to the United States. We had seen standardization occur elsewhere around the globe, but mainly driven by mandate. Really wasn't the kind of market that the U.S. had. And so we need another approach if we were going to get to a world in which we could have better standardization for APIs. So Notch and working with the industry, we stood up an organization called Affinis. Doesn't stand for anything. It's just a name that we chose so we could recognize this organization under the Notch umbrella. And today it has about 60 members or membership organizations in Affinis. Now, very diverse membership, all the way from financial institutions to fintech to service providers, small, large. They're all part of that membership organization. And what they do is by collaborating through both technical and business groups, they are working to actually develop API standards for the United States and maybe even, on a global perspective, but certainly for the U.S., for the financial industry. They do that by actually creating the API products themselves. They publish or release those API standards on affinis.org. So developers can come discover those APIs, they can test them in the sandbox, and then hopefully, as we'll talk about here in a few questions, I believe, Ryan, they'll begin to see adoption of those APIs, which will benefit both consumers of data and providers of the data needed that we're going to talk about today. So a little bit of a history lesson, that is Affinis and what we're made up of today and how that functionality works.
Yeah, George, just to put a point on that, I guess, in our research, we've already found more than 40 API-driven payment platforms out in the market. That's a wide range of platforms, all developed from the ground up with different APIs being presented for payments. One of the challenges we saw in open banking in Europe almost 4 years ago was a fact that developers that had to interact with three or four banks ended up having to develop entirely separate APIs for every bank they were going to interact with. And that N squared problem just isn't scalable. So the problem is real, and a standard around the interface to specific functions is certainly the way to go. It's good to hear.
Yeah, it's a great point, Tim. And I think when you think about open banking and the challenges that they had in the beginning and that implementation, right, that mandate really did not include standardization. It just said, look, we're going to create the different roles and the parties. We're going to enforce a mandate in which data will be shared. In your case, you know, in your example, Tim, to execute payments. And that was the mandate. I think what we learned is that once financial institutions and other organizations that were providing these services went to comply with that mandate, that's what they ended up with, is with lack of standardization, compliance was very difficult. Because of the reasons, Tim, you just described. So here in the U.S., a little bit different way in which we can get there, but I think the ultimate goal is the same.
Yeah, I think there was a mistaken belief that a RESTful interface made the API easily recognizable, easily interfaced to, managed version control. But again, when you have everyone being different, that N squared problem is just unmanageable. Will Affinis also be doing any certification of the solutions that use the standard?
Yeah, I think we're definitely looking at that, you know, kind of as a roadmap item, if you will. Already today, we are able to work, you know, very closely with developers in that sandbox environment to make sure they understand, you know, everything from the open API specification itself to the use case, they understand what that data means and how they're providing it. Because I think it's important when we think about certification as well, and just that interaction with developers, it shouldn't just be specific to technical specification, right? I have an API specification, open API, it's you know, JSON code, and I'm going to send you a transaction using that and get a response. Okay, I get it from a developer standpoint. I am looking for, am I getting the correct response? And if I'm not, you know, what I need to change. But I think as important is for that developer to understand what is the use case for that API? Do they really understand the value of the data and how they want to present that data to the ultimate consumer of it? I think is very important. And I think Affinis, by combining both, you know, technical, you know, folks that I would call on the development side and the business folks that really understand the use cases and how this data is used is very important.
Absolutely. And by the way, the sandbox could easily be your gold standard test case, so that if any two systems have a problem communicating together using the API standard, they would go back to the sandbox to see how the sandbox resolves it. If the sandbox works, then one of the two parties clearly made a mistake in the implementation. If the sandbox doesn't work, then it might indicate a gap within the standard, which would be fixed in the sandbox and then be reconciled out to all the other implementations, which is the easiest way to certify a particular product.
Yeah, I agree, Tim.
Also interesting is the use cases. Everybody that I talked about, the 40 plus payment platforms out there, and they want to send a message that you can use this platform for any payment need that you have, push payments, payroll, 1099 workers, consumer reimbursements. Yet that just simply isn't true because of all the legal ramifications and control functions that need to be put around it for every one of those use cases. So there clearly then needs to be a financial institution that makes sure that the AML process, the KYC process, and all the other requirements are met.
Yeah, there are challenges with that, Tim, and we have run into that as well. I think when Affinis began as an organization, we realized if we're going to bring the industry together, we're going to create these standards, we all have to be talking the same language. Right. When we talk about a term or a business object, we all have to understand what that is and what it means. And so we made a conscious decision to say, look, we are going to base our development effort on ISO 20022. you know, a lot of discussions around how ISO 20022 can be leveraged in writing code like JSON code versus XML. And certainly that is the intention of ISO that be the case. However, there are specific challenges you'll find when you really get under the covers and you start to develop these APIs. To your point, Tim, there's some unique differences in the US that are not, you know, commonly found necessarily in other countries related to payments. One of those being the US is very much has a strong adoption of both, you know, credit payments or push payments and debit payments, which are pull payments. And when you're trying to create one specific API that can accommodate a use case for all payment types, that is where some of that difficulty can come into place, because the role of creditor and debtor really can change. And ISO, you know, does not really allow for that, and the developer can become confused. So we think we've done a good job in working around that. But yeah, to your point, you may not be able to get down to this ultimate, you know, objective of having a single API that magically can accommodate all use cases, all payment types. I think that's a little bit far reaching, but it's a good goal to have. It's one that we strive for.
Yeah, I totally get the challenge. I was also interested, the ISO 20022 defines processes associated with every data element. Trying to manage those processes to adhere, to your point, you have so many different use cases, so many different participants. I'm not sure you could possibly identify all the different processes that make up every one of the data elements. And if you did, it would eliminate some use cases.
Yeah, it definitely, as I said, has some challenges. I still believe in the decision we made. I think ISO is where we should be basing our development from. And we're very encouraged by the collaboration we've had with ISO itself. So Nacha and Affinis, we've been very active on many of the payment segs within ISO. And as a matter of fact, you know, we spearheaded an effort to create kind of a new infrastructure within ISO called the API Workgroup. And this API Workgroup will eventually spawn into an effort in which we can better define and report on what we're doing with API development, and hopefully get a quicker response as well when suggested changes are made and those types of things. So I think ISO is being very responsive, and they are encouraged, you know, what they're seeing from API development and related to ISO 20022.
Well, I recognize you're taking on a tough job, but boy, the benefit to developers is huge. Being able to have a single interface to understand it, train on it, know it, and then be able to go connect to multiple different parties through it certainly reduces the overall effort of interconnectivity.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about kind of that the back and forth there that I kind of want to pull out from there is really just the educational aspect there. I think, Tim, on your last point that you kind of pointed out is just like obviously the benefit of kind of this long-term goal for software developers. You certainly kind of look at it as that, okay, software developers understand software and payment professional understand payments, and really trying to be able to combine the two so that way then the software developers are able to more easily develop and provide value-added solutions for individuals across the payments ecosystem is certainly a very fantastic goal to have. But George, now I kind of want to change the conversation just a little bit here. Because the last time that we talked, you know, we were certainly talking about some of the APIs that Affinis was looking at. And Affinis has certainly been very busy. So in 2020, the organization completed about half a dozen of the APIs that we were talking about. And can you highlight for us a few and share why they are making such an impact in the industry today?
Yeah, surely, Ryan. I think, you know, the goal of Affinis and these API standards is not a goal in which its membership says, let's develop as many of these standards as we can. Right, let's just come up with every use case imaginable. We'll prioritize those and we'll just be a machine, right? And just publish APIs and send them out into the industry. I think we're not doing that. And I agree that we shouldn't in Affinis. Instead, we are looking for specific opportunities where we can see adoption of these standards. Right? It's one thing to create it. It's another thing to actually have it adopted by the industry, and even another thing to have mass adoption. So we specifically focus on developing APIs that are meeting specific and immediate needs for businesses. And what we looked at in 2020 and what we accomplished was really API standard development to better enable data services for businesses, right? There's this idea of data services, I think, has really been focused on consumers a lot. Consumers wanting to expose data, share data for various amounts of various numbers of use cases. And they're all true and all still occurring today. And I think we'll continue to evolve and get better and better. But there really was a lot of talk about data services for businesses. And that's where we had talked to the industry about that is kind of the green space is where we think that this can go next. And so when we think about data services for businesses, they are different, but yet they're kind of the same, right? When we say a business wants to consume some type of data, it typically is for the initiation of a payment. So I want to consume data that helps me route this payment efficiently and correctly and without exception. I want to consume information on either side of the payment that helps me post a payment or do cash application efficiently and without exception, right? These are still the ultimate goal of businesses is to have electronic payments, not only with their efficiency that comes with them, that is better than a paper payment or a check payment, but also the other things around, the data around that payment is so important for businesses. And then I think kind of hand in hand with that, when we say, well, what are other examples of data services that businesses can benefit from? Anything where I can help reduce fraud. So if I'm getting this information, if it's being exposed to me today in ways where I'm unable to validate that information, if it's going to be true, this is where we see things like business email compromise come into play. This is where we have focused their attention, and this is where businesses have said, this is where we could use the most help with APIs and the standardization of those APIs. And so we did a lot of that in 2020 with an API that can carry that payload that I mentioned. Information about routing, information about remittance so it can be posted, and information to help reduce fraud. The other area we looked at that was really still in the business area, but did touch consumers was around bill payment. So bill payment, still, and especially with the pandemic this year, right, is continuing to explode, right? Electronic bill pay is just, we're so far from where we were 20 years ago, and I don't believe it's going to go back. I don't think we'll see a lot of these types of payments that consumers will, start writing checks again when that's available to them. And so what we looked at ways to improve that experience, right, especially when the consumer, well, either way, right, if a consumer's at a bill pay site, or a bill payment site like a financial institution where they're going to make a payment or maybe some other provider, it's important to have that experience be positive for the consumer and not result in any kind of an exception or a delayed payment. And so we developed and released APIs that help validation of data. So when a consumer is entering information about the biller that they're paying, about the specific bill that they are paying at that biller, we can get that right on the front end. We can allow the consumer to maybe correct that and eliminate the checks that are sent today because of that data being incorrect. I think, back down to removing friction for billers and consumers, it's still about creating APIs that Tim and I discussed earlier that remove those barriers about interoperability. So I have a great maybe API today that allows me to either consume data or validate data that I've received from the consumer. All of those things are great, but the fact that the sources that I go do that are all different is really a challenge. How do I keep all those balls in the air and I'm able to have the broadest reach that I can to do these services? And so we've looked at APIs to do that as well. Tim mentioned a lot about payment, and we think about businesses and doing payment origination with an API. And they want to do that no matter, which bank that they're banking at. They want to be able to send those instructions, or actually not send those instructions, just have that API connectivity so that they are automating that process and reducing the friction that comes with it and manual intervention. Okay, so the idea for standardization there is pretty simple. Make that API that's for payment initiation, how close can that be to the same API that I use with any bank? So I think financial institutions have really come to the market saying, look, we agree. We don't want to compete on the API. We'll compete on products and services. So standardization there is great. The other area in which APIs are really becoming important to businesses are getting that other data. So it's not initiating the payment. It's how do I consume data about my account, about my balances on my accounts, the transaction history, the details. How do I consume that data in a way that's automated, and then also in a way that's meaningful and where I can use it for cash management and those types of things and treasury services. So we focused on that as well. And then finally, I'll talk about one other area, which is a little bit new, which is not about products that are being offered or consumed by consumers or businesses. These are about operational efficiencies. So how do we leverage APIs and a network of APIs in a way where even financial institutions can work better together in that back office environment when they're doing maybe, you know, remediation of a payment, or they're trying to do an investigation and they're trying to comply with regulatory constraints that they have upon them? How do we make that better with standardized APIs, right? And I think standardization is the key to that. Anyone could write an API that would carry a payload that would help one bank do this with another bank. Absolutely. Could be done probably in a week or in a day. But how do we scale that and so that it can become more ubiquitous? That's where standardization comes in. So we focused on all those areas when we think about 2020. And we've been successful, to your point, releasing APIs that serve all of those use cases.
Those are all really great high volume use cases and should satisfy a real need in the marketplace. As you mentioned, the B2B side of it, I thought about how integrated supply chains are becoming more and more tightly coupled, such that there's a need to tie the individual payments of an overall contract to specific processes that take place within the business. And it starts to lead towards how do you integrate smart contracts to the payment cycle. It'll be interesting to see how that evolves. It'll become a lot easier when there's standard APIs available for the smart contract to reach out to.
Yeah, I agree, Tim.
Yeah, and I mean, George, as you're sitting there and you're really talking about just the amount of success that Affinis has certainly had in the year 2020, I've then obviously curious about what lies ahead then for Affinis in 2021. So I'd love to get your perspective then on what industry problems is the organization trying to solve through its APIs, and then also what is ahead for Affinis in 2021?
Yeah, so Graham, as I think about, you know, the transition from this year, which let's face it, for all of us was a very unique year. And as we hopefully move to more normalcy, you know, next year, I think, you know, Affinis would like to just continue the momentum. I think what's interesting is the pandemic for this organization really did not have that much of an impact. We were able to continue to create the plan of work that we had developed as an organization and accomplish the things that we wanted. And I think in addition, you know, we've talked a lot today about creating APIs and publishing them, but we began to see as well in 2020 and hope to see that continuing in 2021, actual adoption of these APIs, right? Working with organizations who have come and tested in the sandbox and actually deployed these APIs in production. We like to continue to focus on those, you know, to create case studies so that others can see that. And really that's how you get the momentum of adoption going. So I'm hoping that will still be kind of a lead story going into 2021. And in addition, I think we want to continue along the same path. Are the APIs going to be serving different payloads or different information? I think, yeah, the answer is yes. But at the end of the day, we're still interested in the core things that Affinis is trying to solve. And that is what we talked about, these data services for businesses and supporting B2B payments. We've talked about reducing fraud. And also friction to go along with that, but certainly anything that we can do where data can be exposed and consumed that would help help either side of that business reduce fraud. We're still thinking about automation, as Tim talked about, all the way through the supply chain, and how do we remove a lot of the manual steps? And that's still an opportunity. And then back to that operational improvement, right? It's a good time now that we've kind of built this thing up and we have an infrastructure with Affinis where we can create these APIs with the industry. I'm hoping that you know, we'll see a lot of interest and success in that kind of operational area as well. I get it, you know, not as kind of front page news, because maybe a business doesn't really understand what's going on kind of behind the scenes, or doesn't care. They just want things to happen, you know, quickly and streamline. But I think those APIs will allow financial institutions particularly to do that.
You know, George, it's great to see Affinis leading the charge into digitalization. The payments industry has been pretty slow getting there, and it's great to see that Affinis is taking the lead.
Yeah, it's still very much exciting times, right? I think on the forefront, and that's always fun.
That's for sure.
Yeah, one of the things I think is kind of interesting, George, that you certainly pointed out there is obviously with COVID-19 this year in particular, you know, I certainly think it has been really that catalyst, because I think a lot of the things that we were talking about really has kind of, they've always been there from a technological standpoint there, but it really kind of took this pandemic for people to kind of be forced in some way to use those. I mean, certainly the industry was going in that direction anyways, but this was certainly the inertia that caused people to really take a deep look and consideration towards it. So certainly having those standardizations in place is certainly going to have a great foundation for the industry going forward. But one of the last things I want to talk about here is that Notcha has recently launched or has launched a new effort called Fixius. So I'm curious of how that project is implementing the work at Affinis.
Yeah, it's a great transition. And one that I really do enjoy talking about. So Fixius is very exciting for Notcha. What it is, first of all, the name doesn't stand for anything. Again, just like Affinis, we wanted a brand that at least we could all know that we're talking about the same thing. It is what I call a payment information exchange platform. And the reason I call it a platform is because it's comprised of several things. One is the technology itself. Fixius is built on open APIs, blockchain, and smart contracts. Tim mentioned that, and I thought that was a good kind of setup for this final question and kind of talking about Fixius. So it is definitely about technology, you know, cloud-based, and as I mentioned, we can talk a little bit more about that if we have time today. But in addition to the technology, which part of the platform are also the rules that go with that technology, right? How do you have governance over the participants using the platform, over the APIs that are being used? And this is where, you know, Notcha really brought its really core competency to play. Not that we haven't been experienced with developing new technology and launching it for our members and to the industry. And certainly Fixius was a stretch of that. But we're excited not only about the technology, but again, about the what I call the Fixius operating rules, or again, about the governance. So that is an important second component that provides surety among the participants. They know what happens if something goes wrong, all the things that you want to have. And then finally, the third part of the component, like any kind of platform where it's reliant on entities sharing or exposing information and consuming that data, you have to have a network. You have to have the network of participants that are on that. And so when we look at those three components, we're very excited about how far we've come with all of those. So we did have an announcement that Fixius was live. It's been live since October 31st, I believe. And we are now onboarding these participants that I talked about who will provide services downstream to businesses and those organizations. So individual businesses will never connect to Fixius. It is really about service providers, financial institutions, payment network and platforms, and these types of entities that will connect. But again, they will be providing what I call data services downstream to businesses by using Fixius. There's a strong connection among Fixius and Affinis, because for Fixius, one of the key components of the platform, it's not a central data store. It's not a model where it's give to get, and we encourage folks to safely and securely, right, move data to a central location, and then we permission others to come get that information, and that's the way it would work. That is not Fixius at all. Fixius enables point-to-point connections between the endpoints on the network. So they are exchanging data that has been that can be trusted in that data exchange because of the things that Fixius is doing. Because of token management, because of how we're recording the events on chain and how that's working. So again, a lot to go into, you know, for a podcast like today, but again, that technology is allowing that point-to-point connection to happen. So if you're going to have a network and you say, well, all these point-to-point connections are going to be existing, how are we going to exchange the data? The logical thing is to say those APIs must be standardized. So Fixius doesn't have, quote, a mandate that you must we must use Affinis APIs. It's just been the logical choice. If we discover there are other API standards that have already been created, and that is an API we want to support on the Fixius platform, we can do that as well. But to date, we have included a number of Affinis APIs in the first feature functionality of Fixius, and that is what we will see go live next year. So it will really not only help, you know, Fixius achieve its goal of allowing the exchange of this data to support the use cases that it's out there for businesses, but also, you know, quite frankly, help Affinis and see some adoption, because these endpoints will essentially be adopting the Affinis APIs.
That's really fascinating, George. I think about the rise of large data repositories of consortium data that in many instances built up simply because it wasn't possible to access it through a standardized API through partnerships, because every API was different, the friction was too high. It'll be interesting to see how much can be implemented now through this new platform.
Yeah, I think we think it is new, and we think it's a new utility, right? It hasn't existed before. The way that we are allowing that information exchange, the way we're using smart contracts, recording those events on Ledger, is an important distinction, I think, from a technology standpoint. You know, I'm sure Mercator has covered stories and stories and stories about blockchain and its use for digital currency and all of that. A little bit of a personal note for me, as I've kind of followed the evolution of this technology, I've always thought that its home should be in something more like this, in this data space, and preventing large data stores, and how do we get that to happen in a trusted way? And we're doing that today, right? So when data is exchanged in Fixius, there is a smart contract that cannot be changed. It has the identity of the two parties that have exchanged the data, but it doesn't have the data itself that was exchanged. And that's an important distinction in reducing fraud and reducing risk. And really, to be honest, just providing a response to what the industry was asking for, to Tim's comment. They were not asking for yet another directory. We've got plenty of those, and they can be used for various number of things. What we're looking for is a solution that doesn't require us to have a different directory for every payment type, for each use case, or whatever those things might be. How do we get to a point where we have one infrastructure that allows us to use all of those?
This is fascinating. I look forward to learning more. It sounds like a really smart idea.
Excellent. Well, certainly on that note, let's wrap things up here. So George and Tim, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about API standardization, Affinis and Fixius. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Yeah, it was my pleasure, Ryan. Great talking to Mercator again.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, George.
Okay.